Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 82 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
The intention was to remind people that, hey, don't get confused that this is the way it's going to be. It's not.
A video of a new roundabout on the Rowan Bath County line went viral for the wrong reasons this weekend.
Moorhead State's online auction is working to raise money for student scholarship.
New variants of COVID-19 are on the rise in the Commonwealth.
Distribution of the paused Johnson & Johnson vaccine resumed this week.
Mask regulations are being relaxed in some outdoor spaces.
In sports, Round County baseball and softball face off with Fleming tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Increasing clouds overnight with a low around 63. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Officials with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet say a video that went viral over the weekend was not intended to make fun of Eastern Kentucky residents. Walker Construction has been installing a mini roundabout at the 801 and US 60 intersection at the Rowan and Bath County line. The organization posted a video Saturday showing multiple vehicles entering the wrong lanes and improperly using the roundabout, but traffic flaggers instructing drivers to do so could not be seen. The video was seen thousands of times and ended up as the number 4 post of all time on the subreddit forum Idiots in Cars. Alan Blair is the spokesman for KYTC District 9. He says the video was intended to remind residents that the construction traffic patterns would not continue once the project was complete.
You know, during that period of time while they were doing construction and pouring concrete, they had to keep traffic off of that center island, and so it was flagged 24 hours a day. They were moving traffic, basically by hand around that in different ways just to keep people off the concrete.
Blair says construction on the roundabout is almost complete and drivers will be able to use it as intended within the next few days.
Officials in Ashland say a series of traffic changes on Winchester Avenue would make the city more pedestrian-friendly. There are 3 different ideas about how to tackle the project, each significantly impacting traffic. City Commissioner Amanda Clark tells WSAZ the city's traffic will be slowed down.
The mission of this whole entire process was to get Winchester Avenue down to 2 lanes, get some diagonal parking, slow the traffic down, make it a destination. You park your car, you get out, and you walk.
The decision has not been made yet on which plan will become a reality for Winchester Avenue. The city will host public comment meetings before making the decision.
A fundraiser for Moorhead State University students will close bidding tomorrow. MSU's annual spring gala won't be a formal gathering due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but an online auction will continue its tradition as one of MSU's most successful fundraisers. Mindy Hiley is the Assistant Vice President for Alumni Relations and Development. She says participants can choose to support student funds or textbook scholarship awards if the auction items don't appeal to them.
The money from the auction will be used to support scholarships at Moorhead State for deserving students. And at this time, there are more student needs than ever before because of the situation the world is in. Student life has just changed considerably.
To continue bidding, visit moorheadstate.edu/gala.
Reports of COVID-19 variant cases are rising in Kentucky and are mostly impacting the younger population. 40% of the COVID cases reported in Kentucky this month have been in people 29 or younger. These age groups also make up the fewest vaccinated. Emergency physician Dr. Ryan Stanton tells WKYT he believes the easiest weapon against the strains and the virus as a whole is the COVID vaccine. Okay, I'll just record the last part of it then.
Okay.
Stanton says right now, more than 500,000 vaccines in Kentucky are sitting in freezers, ready to go into arms.
The Lexington Fayette County Health Department will now offer the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at the Southeast Lexington Center. Appointments have not been filling up as quickly as they were just a couple of months ago. Health Department spokesperson Kevin Hall tells WKYT the organization has been distributing the vaccine for 4 months.
there's a small number of people who've been affected by the Johnson & Johnson product out of more than 7 million doses or almost 7 million doses provided.
Hall says it is understandable that people are hesitant to get the J&J vaccine after the pause. The health department is hosting a walk-in clinic on Thursday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
9 months after signing an executive order requiring face masks in public on Monday, Kentucky's governor announced relaxing the mandate and no longer requiring masks at outdoor events with 1,000 people or less. Many events can be happening again due to this news, starting with Prestonburg's Kinfolk Reunion event coming up on May 1st. Prestonburg Mayor Les Stapleton tells WKYT he is excited to welcome back the event.
This mandate can be a game changer for us for the next couple months.
An outdoor concert has already switched from a drive-in to a socially distant seating event. Now the city is taking it another step toward normal and not requiring face masks. The mask mandate remains in effect for outdoor events with more than 1,000 people as well as anywhere indoors.
Judge Executive Robert Carpenter wants to establish a fund for Greenup County. WMKY's Carla Haight has the story.
The Greenup County Fiscal Court discussed a proposal by County Judge Executive Robert Carpenter to establish a fund with a proportion of the money the county received through the sale of the Bellefonte Pavilion. Carpenter initially proposed that $1 million be set back in a fund accessible to the Industrial Development Authority to be used to help new businesses set up on the Industrial Parkway. The court passed a resolution to create the IDA fund and add two seats for the fiscal court to the Industrial Development Authority. The second reading of the proposed establishment of the fund will be discussed in the May fiscal court meeting. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Haight.
Child protection agencies, advocates, and volunteers are highlighting how protective factors that allow families to parent effectively are a crucial factor in child abuse prevention. Trusted adults, including teachers and child care providers, often are relied on to report suspected cases of child abuse and neglect. Executive Director of Trumbull County, Ohio's Children's Services, Tim Schaefer, says prevention really takes a village.
It takes this kind of community awareness of child abuse and see something, say something, how each of us can keep children safe, and the availability and the knowledge of services to respond to trauma.
The Everyday Ohio Heroes campaign celebrates the role trusted adults play in a child's life and honored 8 Ohioans this month for making a difference in child abuse prevention.
City officials hosted a press conference yesterday to discuss the announcement of the Department of Justice investigation of the Louisville Metro Police Department. The investigation will assess whether LMPD engages in a pattern of using unreasonable force and whether LMPD engages in discriminatory conduct on the basis of race. Mayor Greg Fisher tells WYMT the investigation will go back about 5 years. Analyzing the different factors and the estimated timeline of the investigation will be slightly less than 13 months.
I see this as like a really exciting, positive thing, because it's no secret that policing in America is at a crossroads right now. I mean, it seems like almost every newscast that you're on, there is something about the police in the community not working right. And I know that our police force, for instance, our police members, they don't want that. They want change.
Metro Police's Chief Erica Shields adds she believes the investigation will speed up the process of making a police department that reflects the goals of the community.
The only officer charged in connection with the drug raid that led to the killing of Breonna Taylor will not stand in trial until next February. Brett Hankinson's trial originally was scheduled to begin in August. A Jefferson County judge made the decision to delay on Friday. Smith told WYMT there would be logistical issues which would be difficult to overcome by August, and February 2022 seems a more realistic date. Hankinson was one of three LMPD officers who fired their weapons during the botched 2020 raid that ended in the death of Breonna Taylor. He was eventually charged with wanton endangerment for firing into a neighboring apartment.
A man from Pikeville faces up to 2 years in prison for violating the Clean Water Act. WMKY's Levi Bryan has the story.
43-year-old Christopher Hall faces up to 2 years in prison or a $250,000 fine for neglecting water treatment responsibilities. Hall pleaded guilty Monday to that federal violation. According to investigators, Hall was a waste treatment manager at the water treatment plant in Matewan, West Virginia, and tampered with waste management reports. Hall allegedly falsified 10 reports of waste disposal, dumping over 60 tons of sludge into the Tug Fork River instead of the nearby landfill. According to WSAZ, Hall admitted that he knew all 10 reports were false and that no sludge was disposed at the landfill when he submitted those reports. Hall will be sentenced July 22nd. For WMKY News, I'm Levi Bryan.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 80. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low around 62. Thursday, a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 77.
On our feature segment today, Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead hosted a virtual conversation last week with an author who focused on an unusual insect, the monarch butterfly. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
California-based author Sarah Dykeman's book, titled Bicycling with Butterflies, follows her 10,201-mile biking journey as Dykeman followed the migration of monarch butterflies from Mexico to Canada. Dykeman says her bike wasn't fancy, and her gear bags were actually just 2 gallon buckets, but everything worked out just fine.
With those buckets, I can hold all the things I need for a trip, and so I knew that if I carried food, I could eat when I was hungry, and if I carried my camping equipment, I could sleep when I was tired.
As a result, Dykeman says she didn't have to worry about any of the details of the journey.
What I worried about was the big picture, and so I knew I was going to bike from their overwintering grounds in Mexico to Canada and back, and I kind of put the word out, and people would hear about my trip, and they'd say, hey, you should come to Southern Ontario, or, oh, you should come to wherever, lots and lots and lots of places. And I'd look at my map, and I'd look at the timing, and I'd say, okay, and I'd change my route to kind of go where the energy was.
When she began, Dykeman says she didn't plan on writing a book.
Ended up visiting 49 schools and giving presentations at 31 nature centers and other public venues. About halfway through my trip, I realized, wow, like, people are really receptive to the message. People are really falling in love with the monarch. People want to be part of the solution. I can only reach so many people by riding my bike and doing small events. I got to write a book.
Dykeman says the reason she wrote the book about her butter biking journey was to raise awareness for a rarely discussed topic.
And the point of my trip and of my book is to be a voice for the monarch and to help people understand that they can be part of the migration and they can help protect it by planting native plants and milkweed, which is the only food source of the monarch caterpillar.
Along the entirety of her journey, Dykeman says she had the chance to talk to many different people, something that for her only solidified that she was doing the right thing.
Another thing that kept coming through was that people used to see a lot of monarchs and now they don't see any. And that comment made me angry because so often people would say, I used to see lots of monarchs and now I don't see any. And then that's where the conversation would end for them. And it's like, no, that's the start. Then you need to say, you need to tell me what you're doing to be part of the solution, because it's not fair that the next generation might not have any monarchs to see.
For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Round County, and all of eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen and Betty Keene can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under Eisen Insurance Agency.
It's 82 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Sarah Mead has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
Viking baseball and softball face off with Fleming tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sarah Mead. The Rowan County Senior High School baseball team is set to take on Fleming County this evening. The Vikings got the upper hand in their road contest with the Panthers last night, 18-5. Tonight, Rowan plays host. Assistant coach Rob Ward says it's anybody's game as the season is still early and both teams continue to adjust.
They lost a lot of players like we did, so two pretty much new teams. I know a lot of our kids have played travel ball with a lot of their kids, and I know they've got a very solid team over there in Fleming County, some good arms. They've been putting up some runs, and so I think there's going to be two dogfights the next 2 days for the games.
First pitch in Morehead this evening is set for 5:30. The Rowan County Senior High School softball team will be taking on Fleming County this evening as well. The softball Vikings will be on the road for their second matchup of the season with the Panthers. Rowan lost that game, but head coach Larry Sloan thinks things will go better this time around.
Hopefully we'll hit the ball better. We only had four hits last time we played them and get a little bit better pitching. That's a big district game. We need to have a good ball game there.
First pitch in Flemingsburg this evening is set for 6 o'clock. A member of the Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team is continuing to receive postseason accolades. Senior Mason Moore had a great season with the Vikings, garnering himself a Mr. Basketball nomination and wrapping things up as a top 25 rebounder in the state. It's likely for these reasons Moore has now been named to the first team All-State in the Lexington Herald Leader. Head coach Sean Thacker says he's one of the few players in Rowan history to be named to the Kentucky-Indiana All-Star team as well.
We're awfully proud of him and what he's accomplished. You know, he's worked very hard on his craft between basketball and baseball, and he's done a great job of managing being a multi-sport star. And it's always good when kids get some of the accolades in which they deserve.
Moore is one of the six players in Rowan County history to be named to the Kentucky-Indiana All-Star team. Morehead State softball came away with a 3-0 victory in the back half of its doubleheader against Jacksonville State after falling to the Gamecocks 1-0 to begin the day. The Eagles saw an outstanding day from their starting pitchers as Kelsey Perkins and Lennon Spicer combined to only allow 6 hits on 1 earned run while striking out 6 JSU batters between the two games. Head coach Samantha Jones says she's happy with the way her team is juggling softball and academics.
It takes a lot of dedication, but also takes a lot of self-care when it comes to these points, not only during season, but also just during the academic year. And it could be stressful for a lot of people. And so, just taking care of yourself and really being aware of your body, your mind, I think will be huge in just recovering, but then also moving forward.
The Eagles will be home again this weekend. They host a 3-game series with SIU Edwardsville, beginning with a doubleheader Saturday at noon. Morehead State's baseball team is on the practice field after taking 2 of 3 games at Jacksonville State over the weekend. The successful series moved the Eagles to 20-15 with just 4 weeks left of regular season play. Head coach Mick Aoki says he was happy with how his team performed in Alabama.
It was good. It was a good weekend. They're a good team, and it's not an easy place to play, and so it was good.
The Eagles will welcome Murray State for a 4-game series this coming weekend. A doubleheader on Friday is set to start at 1 p.m. The 2021 Ohio Valley Conference Beach Volleyball Championship field is set. The 3-day double elimination event will take place on the campus of UT Martin, April 29th through May 1st. This year marks the inaugural OVC Beach Volleyball Championship. Morehead State finished the OVC season 9-1 to win the regular season championship and earn the number 1 seed, while Chattanooga finished OVC play 7-3 and will be the number 2 seed. Those two teams receive a first round bye. UT Martin is the number 3 seed and followed by number 4, Austin Peay, number 5, Jacksonville State, and number 6, Eastern Kentucky. The Eagles will face off with the winner of the Austin Peay versus Jacksonville State game. Those teams open the tournament at 1 p.m. Thursday, and the winner advances to the 5 game with MSU. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sarah Mead.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Grand, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 hovered near its record level as investors braced for a big batch of tech earnings. And at the close, the S&P actually finished with a small loss of 0.90. The S&P 500 index itself finishing at 4186.72. The Dow crept up 3.36 to finish at 33,984.93. The NASDAQ composite was down 48.56, not a real good day for tech stocks, with the NASDAQ finishing at 14,090.22. Shares of Tesla fell 3%, even after the electric car maker posted record net income of $438 million. The company also beat Wall Street's earnings and revenue expectations handily, boosted by sales of Bitcoin as well as regulatory credits. UPS shares soared over 10% after earnings blew past Wall Street estimates, and the company said first quarter revenue was up 27%. And the first quarter earnings season is kicking into high gear this week, with key mega cap tech companies such as Google parent Alphabet, Microsoft, and AMD reporting after the bell today. Apple and Facebook earnings follow tomorrow after the bell. So far, with about a third of the S&P 500 having reported, 84% of all of the companies that have reported have had a positive earnings surprise. On the data front, home prices in February registered the biggest gain in 15 years, rising 12% year over year. And the Consumer Confidence Index climbed sharply to hit a pandemic high, with the Conference Board Index jumping to 121.7, the highest since February 2020. And GameStop stock jumped more than 6% after the video game retailer said it sold 3.5 million additional shares, which raised $551 million to speed up the company's e-commerce transformation. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.8% at $63.24 a barrel. Gold was down 0.25% at $1,775.60 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up 40 cents at $17.43, Marathon Petroleum up 62 cents at $53.89, PPL Energy down 29 cents at $28.89, CSX down 40 cents at $101.92, Fifth Third Bank up 47 cents at $39.25, and Anthem was down 65 cents to finish at $376.86. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Sarah Mead, Josh Grogan, Shamari Mosley, Ben Hall, Levi Bryan, Carla Haight, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.